I hope and pray that you have been blessed enough to see God do some incredible miracles in your life. I know that if we look around, we can see the hand of God in so many things. But I know that there have been some times probably in your life as well as mine that you've been praying for a miracle and you've needed God to show up in an incredible kind of way. Now, one of the things that I have found out is that when God has done that, not only has He shown up in such a fashion that it meets whatever the need is, one of the interesting things is that it's often the fact that God has gone far and above what we ever even expected Him to do. So today, we're going to be taking a look at yet another one of those examples in God's Word. It is going to be the feeding of the 5,000. The passage is going to come out of John's Gospel, chapter 6. Grab that Bible and come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has been good to you and that God is blessing in an incredible way. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at yet another miracle of the Messiah. And this is actually one of my favorite ones. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, now the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is one of the few events that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Now, this demonstrates a significance in the ministry of Jesus and its profound impact on both the disciples and those who were gathered around in the crowd. So today we're going to explore this miracle in the Gospel of John and understanding what it reveals about Jesus and its implications for you and I. Once again, that passage is going to be John chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Okay? It reads as follows. It says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, when a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have just a little.' And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.'" Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to once again take a look into your word. Father, to once again discover one of your miracles, and Lord, to see how applicable it is to our lives. Lord, to teach us about you. So, Father, as we take these moments to gather around your word, we pray that you would help us to have clarity and help us to have focus into your word. And Lord, we pray that you would limit the distractions around us for these next few moments as we take this time to just concentrate upon you. Father, as always, I just ask that you would use me in these moments, that I truly would be your messenger, that the words that would come from this broadcast would just go straight to the heart of the people that are listening. Lord, Father, for those that listen, I pray that you will give them ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to them. And then, Lord, I pray for courage among those who listen to be able to adjust in their lives that they may draw closer to you. So, Father, bless our time as only you can. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we look at this particular event, one of the interesting things that we always need to do when it comes to God's Word is that we need to kind of understand a little bit about the historical context of what's taking place during the time frame of the Scripture in which we're reading. Now, this event occurs during the ministry of Jesus after he has been performing various signs and various miracles among the people, okay? Now, another thing that we learn from this is that the Passover, which is a very significant Jewish feast, was near. It was coming up. Yeah. So potentially, this was going to increase the number of people who were actually following Jesus. Now, we find out that the crowd gathered because they were drawn by the miraculous healings that they had witnessed. You got to remember, Jesus had been going around and he had been healing people. You know, we've been discovering a lot of those miracles where he made the mute man speak, the deaf to hear, just all these miracles that we've been reading about. Could you imagine what it must have been like to be there, to see Jesus do these things? And then people would go home and they'd say, man, you're not going to believe what I did yesterday. Yesterday I was out on the hillside and this fellow named Jesus was there. You've probably heard of him. The word was getting around. And he was doing all these incredible things. Man, he was healing people and I saw it with my own two eyes. So then it creates all kinds of interest. Plus the fact that the Passover was going to be coming up. And all of a sudden people were flocking to Jesus. And I mean, I could just imagine, according to this scripture, what the scene must have looked like, okay? All of a sudden, Jesus looks up and he sees this multitude of people coming with him. Now, we get the number here in just a minute, and I'm going to speak to that in just a moment. But here are some things that we want to learn as we begin to kind of unpack this particular miracle. So when we consider verses 5 and 6 of our text, there's something that we see here that we have seen in every single miracle that we have looked at. And I believe we're somewhere like 18 or 19 miracles in into our study. But what we see is Jesus' compassion. You have heard me say that word over and over and over. It says that Jesus had compassion upon this crowd. He sees the crowd and he feels that compassion and that concern for their physical needs. He knows that if they're out there following him, they hadn't had a meal. It wasn't like you could go down to some fast food restaurant or something. There were probably not stores even nearby. And he knew that these people had a physical need along the way. So he addresses Philip, not out of uncertainty with what he was going to do, but to reveal the limitations of human understanding and to demonstrate his divine provision. In other words, when you look up and you see thousands of people out there, and then Jesus poses a question, well, what are we going to feed them? I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, even somebody who may be, you know, fairly prepared, I just kind of have in my mind somebody that may be operating a food truck or something, and they show up about their normal daily routine, and they've got so much stock, they've got so many hamburgers and hot dogs or whatever, and then all of a sudden they see this gigantic crowd that there's no way that they're going to be able to meet those needs just out of the stock that they have. So Jesus is saying, hey, you know, we're going to have to feed these guys something. What have we got? And it was kind of like them explaining to Jesus. He said, well, look, even 200 denarii wouldn't be enough to buy enough bread just that they might have just a small piece or just a taste of it. And 200 denarii was a lot of money. Remember, denarii was like a day's wages, okay? So when you think about that, it's kind of like, man, even if we had a year's worth of salary, we couldn't feed these people right now. But Jesus already knew what he had planned and what he was going to do, but he was going to prove a point. He was going to prove that oftentimes there's the limitation of our human understanding, but also his divine provision are some things that we need to learn from this particular miracle. That was the first thing. Now, the second thing is that we see that there were insufficient resources. We'll find that in our text in verses 7 through 9. But Philip's response highlights the insufficiency of the earthly resources that they had in their presence. You see, yeah, so all of a sudden, Andrew presents a boy's small offering. Okay. Now, there's some really interesting things that go along with that. There's a very indication of faith that was involved in that. You know, sometimes somebody may have looked at that and said, well, you know, well, maybe Andrew was just being a smart aleck, and he's sitting back going, oh, well, look what we got over here. We've got this little boy's lunch. As he looked over 5,000 plus people, you know, the humanistic side of things would look and say, this is not impossible. This is not even a drop in the bucket. You know, there was this little boy whose mama thought enough about him to provide him a lunch as he went out. And even the boy, I feel, you know, pretty certain that the boy was willing to give up his lunch. And most people would sit back and say, well, this is not enough to amount to anything. So there was a great amount of faith that went into the offering of this little boy's lunch. All right. Even though the little boy presents his lunch, there's still a lot of doubt by questioning its adequacy, you know. I mean, could you imagine him standing there and holding up this little pail or whatever he may have had his lunch in? Or maybe they just held it in their hands and said, well, here's the loaves and here's the fishes. And then they look out over all this crowd and go, okay, what can we do with this? Well, folks, I just want to stop right there for just a second to let you know that little is much when God is involved in it, okay? Now, the third thing that we want to see out of these particular passages today is that there was a miraculous provision. Remember, we're talking about miracles. Jesus did something very incredible in verses 10 through 13, all right? Jesus begins to organize the people, okay? He gets his disciples, he tells them, have the people sit down, you know? And he tells the disciples along the way, well, when they sit down, you kind of come back over to me. So Jesus organizes the people. And then it says that as he did that and he got them to sit down, it says that he gives thanks and then he distributes the loaves and the fishes. Now, who did he distribute them to? Jesus gave thanks and distributed them to his disciples to give out to the people. So he is including his disciples in the miracle. I mean, they saw what was going on. They knew what they started off with. They knew they only had a few fish and a few loaves, and they were probably thinking, well, this won't take long. And Jesus begins to hand them these elements. He begins to hand them the fish, and he begins to hand them the bread. And he says, start passing this out to everyone. All right, so they did. And along the way, there was this miraculous multiplication. And I love that term, multiplication. And that underscores Jesus' authority over all creation as well as his ability to not only provide, but to provide abundantly. Man, I love what is said in this particular passage, because as we continue to look at it, it says that Jesus handed the meal out to his disciples and they began to pass it out among all the people. And I love that the scripture says, as much as they wanted. When I think about this passage, oftentimes I'll think about what it's like being at a church social. Now, if you're a good Baptist like me, you know one of the things that we do well is we eat. We eat well and we eat a lot. And man, when you show up and there's all the homemade fried chicken and all the beans, particularly in the summer when the green beans are in season and the sliced tomatoes and just all this good food is out there, you go through and then often, whether we need it or not, we're sitting there thinking about some seconds. Well, you know what? Back in that day when they did all this, it says in this particular scriptural passage that they ate until they were content. In other words, they had as much as they wanted. If they wanted seconds, there was enough fish and loaves to go around for them to have seconds, maybe even thirds, depending on where people were. But it says that the multitude ate until they were satisfied, okay? So Jesus started off with a few little loaves and a few little fish donated by a little boy there, and now all this crowd has eaten until they are full. But then something even more miraculous happens, okay? That, to me, even more miraculous than the fact that he fed 5,000, you know, people. And I want to throw a little caveat in there as well. You notice that particularly in this particular gospel, in this particular text, it talks about the men. Now, back in that day, the women and the children probably weren't even counted or named. So if you had 5,000 men, Now, let's just say for a moment that you figure each of those men had a wife. That 5,000 now becomes 10,000. And let's just say that each of those couples each had one child, and that is very low. Let's just say they had one. So now the 5,000 with the 5,000 men with their wives is 10 and one child. Now there's 15,000 people there. Now that's not counting if they had more than one child, which most of them actually did. So I'm sitting there imagining that this crowd was probably the size that would fit into a Coliseum. Now, when I say a Coliseum, in my mind, what I'm thinking of is the Greensboro Coliseum, and it holds around 22,000 people. And if you sit there and think every seat was full, I've been there to different events and looked around and think, well, that's a whole lot of people. So now all of a sudden, the miracle becomes even larger, because instead of it just being 5,000, it could be as much as 20 or better thousand people that were fed from one little boy's lunch. Now, to me, that gives a little bit of extra cool to this particular miracle. But then, yet to me, I see yet another miracle take place, because it says that as the disciples had passed out the food until everyone had eaten, until they were satisfied, you know, the disciples are probably going, well, that was a pretty cool miracle. Jesus says, guys, come back up here for a minute. We've got one other project left to do. We've got to clean up. And when I say clean up, he says, I want you to go through and I want you to collect the leftovers. Did you hear that? Leftovers. I mean, you know, any time in my life that Jesus has done a miracle and I have seen or witnessed it, one of the most interesting things is not only has Jesus made provision when he was the only one who could do it, but not only did he meet the need, in my life, it's always far exceeded any of my expectations of what the Lord could do. So Jesus gets his guys together and he says, go pick up the leftovers. Now, I'm imagining the disciples sitting back going, leftovers? You know, listen, I'm amazed at this point that it seemed like the more I handed out the fish and the more that I handed the bread out, it just seemed like it wasn't going away out of my serving tray. And everybody ate. And then when somebody would say, hey, can I have a little bit more? And that disciple would look down in his basket and there was still fish and there were still loaves and they kept on handing it out. And now you're wanting him to go pick up leftovers? Well, that's what they did. They were faithful and obedient to follow what Jesus said. And along the way, the word tells us that the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. What did he start off with? He started off with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's it. That's what he started with. Do you realize that at the end of this particular miracle, that the disciples went back and collected more leftovers than what they even started with? I mean, to me, that is just one of those mind-boggling things. If I would have been one of the disciples, I'd have been scratching my head going, I just can't believe this. In fact, I actually do that. You know, sometimes I scratch my head and sit back and think, man, look at what the Lord has done in this situation. I mean, we're finishing with more than we started, and we already didn't feel like we had enough to accomplish the task. That's what happens when Jesus shows up in the middle of the situation. Isn't that cool? Another thing I want us to see out of our text today is that there is recognition of Jesus' identity. Specifically down in verse 14. See, the miracle leads the crowd to recognize Jesus as the prophet. You know, all of a sudden they realize something pretty interesting had happened in their presence as well. You know, they realized that nobody was walking around with all these carts full of fish and bread, and they were seeing the number of people, and they were probably wondering to themselves, gee, am I going to get anything to eat this evening? You know, I'm sure there was probably somebody who wanted to jump line or get up front because they felt like they were going to be left out. But when all was said and done, not only was there enough, there was more than enough. There were leftovers. And when people saw that, they kept thinking, geez, if I remember this correctly, when we started this meal, Jesus took a little boy's lunch. And he gave thanks to the Father, and he started passing it out to his disciples. And yet, look what's left over. They said, man, this is not something that man could do. And do you see what's going on? Now credit is being given where credit is due. They are recognizing Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah and the prophet. pointing to the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies that they had heard throughout the lifetime, maybe from their parents as they grew up in the midst of those times. This was the long-awaited Jesus. Now, you also have to understand that the Word tells us that even when Jesus showed up on the scene, it says that he came to his own, meaning Israel or the Jewish people, his own received him not. And of course, this opened the doors for the Gentiles down the road. But yet, man, there was a lot of people that missed him, even when they saw the miraculous and incredible things that Jesus was doing. There were still people that tried to test him. There were still people that questioned him and still people that questioned his authority along the way. And there were still people who didn't believe that he was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who would go to the cross with every sin, past, present, and future, the one that would die for the sins of every human being who has ever and will ever live. He would go through that barred tomb, and he would resurrect on the third day, defeating sin, death, and hell, that you and I might have eternal life. Isn't that great? It's great for me to imagine that of all the people that have ever existed in this world and ever will exist, the Lord calls me by name. He knows me by my name. He knows my heart. And I love what the Word says, that he knows more about me than even I know about me. He knows the number of hairs on my head. Now, if I were to ask you how many of you all know how many hairs are on your head, there would be a few who would say, I got the answer to this. I have none, because you may be bald. But for somebody like me and many, many other people, I don't know how many hairs are on my head, but I'll guarantee you that the number that are on my head now was not the same number that it was before I had my shower this morning, okay? So even the Lord knows everything about us. So what do we want to see in this particular passage today? You know, the feeding of the 5,000 demonstrates Jesus' divine authority and his ability to meet both the physical as well as the spiritual needs of each and every person. You know, and this should be challenging us to trust in his provision and to offer whatever it is that we have into his hands. You know what? Yeah, the thing about it is, too many times we limit ourselves. Yeah, man, I realize that God is different than we are. I like to use this term. Our thinking is finite, and his is infinite. We can't see what he does. And too many times what we do is we size Jesus down into a box that has parameters on it that we can understand, and that's what we do. Listen, I pray that each and every one of us are challenged to trust in his provision regardless of what the circumstance may look like. Listen, this is not the only miracle that we see along the way where God has done some incredible things. If you remember, there was a time when we talked about the lady that had the two sons that were getting ready to be taken as indentured servants. And at this particular point, she's talking to the prophet. And remember what the prophet said to her. The prophet said to her, "What do you have? You know, what is in your house?" And I loved her response. Her response was, "I have nothing but. That's that conjunction, the thing that hooks two things together. She said, "I have nothing in the house but a little tiny jar of oil." And folks, you know what? When the prophet said, "Hey, here's what you do," the Lord says, "Go out and gather vessels, not just a few, as many as you can." And then he said, "When you go in, shut the door behind you, pour the oil into those vessels." And we know that according to the scriptures, that the oil, the little jar of oil she had, did not run out until every pot that they had were full. And then the instructions were to go sell the pots of oil, pay off the ones that she owed for her sons, and then live on the rest. So there was a pretty substantial amount of money she was going to be able to get for the quantity of oil that had come from that little jar. But you know what she had to do? She had to surrender that jar of oil into the hands of the master. We have heard this statement many, many times and from many, many different people that says this: little is much when God is in the middle of it. And that is so, so true. Listen, when we are challenged today by our earthly limitations, we need to trust in the provision of our Heavenly Father, and we also need to offer into his hands whatever we have. for a miraculous transformation. You know, sometimes the Lord's asking us, what do you have? You know, what he asked Moses? He said, what do you have in your hand? He said, well, I don't have anything but this rod. He asked the prophet, asked the lady, well, what do you have? And she said, well, all I have is this jar of oil. You know, maybe the disciples, you know, finally realized in our text today when they're like, listen, we don't have anything except this little boy's lunch. He's willing to donate it to us. But yet little became much when God was in it. Okay? Can we understand that? Can we live our lives by that? So how do we take what we've learned today from this particular miracle and make application in our lives? You know, what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, it means that we need to trust Jesus' provision. Like the disciples, we may see the challenges and we may see the lack in our lives. But this account urges us to trust in Jesus' capability to meet our needs, and not only to meet our needs, but to meet them beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine. Okay? Can we do that? The second thing is that we need to offer what we have. Just as the boy offered this meager little lunch that he had, we are called to offer what little we have or what little we think we have, knowing that Jesus can use it for his glory and for the benefit of others. Okay? The third thing that we can do is that we can experience abundance in Christ. We need to recognize that Jesus provides not only to meet our needs abundantly, as seen in the overflow of the basket. I mean, yeah, he'll do it in such a great way. Remember what I said a minute ago? Not only did Jesus feed that crowd of 5,000 plus, but there were leftovers. Man, how many times have we thought that there wasn't even enough to get started? And when Jesus showed up, not only did it cover what was needed, but there was leftovers, man. Listen, trust Jesus to not only meet your need, but look for the leftovers. You don't just leave them laying out in the field. Put them to good use, okay? So I hope and pray that those are some things that we have learned from our scripture text today in yet another miracle of the Master. You see, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is more than an example of Jesus' power. It's an invitation to rely on God's limitless provision and it calls us to participate in his work by offering what we have, trusting him to multiply it. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm sitting there wondering what that little boy must have thought after dinner was over with. I'm certainly thinking that that little boy thought, you know what? Jesus actually took my lunch and fed all these people with my lunch. You know, boy, what a great opportunity to participate in what it is that God wants to do, not only in your heart and in your life, but in the hearts and the lives of other folks. All right? Listen, what's that going to look like to you? I pray that you will be seeking what it is that the Lord wants to do, particularly if you find yourself in a situation right now needing a miracle. I want you to listen to what the Lord has to say to you. And if you don't think it's possible and it truly needs a miracle, you know, maybe the Father is saying, look, what do you have? What's around you? What can you give me to make this happen? And then watch God do some incredible things, not only at the level to meet your need, but a level that creates abundance. Leftovers. I love that. Leftovers. What a great title for a sermon. Leftovers. He showed up, he provided, and he provided to the way that there were even leftovers. All right? Well, listen, let me tell you what we're going to be looking at as far as your Bible readings for this week. And then I'll close you out in a word of prayer. This week, what I want you to do is I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Next week, we're going to look at our 19th miracle of the Messiah of walking on the water. That's going to be Peter walking on the water. That's going to come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and specifically verses 22 through 33. So study in that particular chapter. Be ready to come around God's Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we gather next week. So let me close us out in a word of prayer today, and I'm going to pray that the Lord will do some incredible things in and through your life. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you, first of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that Jesus shows us your compassion. He shows us your power. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to bring our needs and even our insufficiency to you, trusting that you will provide, not only will you provide, Lord, but that you will provide abundantly. Lord, give us the faith to offer what we have for your service, knowing, Lord, knowing that you can transform and multiply what it is that's in our hand beyond even our very understanding. So, Lord, we just pray that you will show us who you are, particularly for those who are in need of a miracle today. And, Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Please accept this as my personal invitation for you to come visit with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We would love to have you visit with us. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through Sunday evening worship. We have Awana for the kids. We have some small groups for men and women. And we would love for you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth. As always, if you have any questions, you can contact us through our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. And I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great week. Thank you.